Morning in Genesis chapter number 16. Genesis chapter number 16. As we continue on in our series in the book of Genesis, we have the story here of Abram, Sarai, and Hagar. And most of you know a little bit about this story, and we're going to fill you in for those that do not know. And the title of this morning's message is, What Happens When You Get Ahead of God? What happens when you get ahead of God? Genesis chapter number 16. Remember last week, we saw that Abram, after winning this great battle and winning his nephew back, and the idea of he was captured as a slave, Abram brings him back, and he goes, and God comes to him, and he probably was a little disappointed. God comes to him and tells him three different things. He says, fear not. He says, I am thy shield. And then he begins to say, I am thy great exceeding reward. And then Abram says, ask the question, and he says, God, you promised me this great heritage, this great lineage, this great number of children, or at least ancestors. He says, I don't have any children yet. And God then begins to explain to them and tells him that he reassures him of his promise. It says that Abraham believed in God, and that was counted for righteousness' sake. And we come to chapter 16. In chapter 15, he's on this high spiritual plane. He believes in God. He wants God to be his exceeding great reward. And we come to chapter 16. You know what? I'm torn when I read chapters like this in the Bible. On one side of me says, man, why in the world would God place this in there? I mean, Abraham is this great man of faith. We can learn from him. We learn all these wonderful things about him. And in chapter 16, we see a failure. We see him fail. And I'm like, man, I wish that chapter wasn't in there. But then there's another side of me that says, boy, I'm glad that chapter is in there because we can learn from that chapter and we can learn great biblical truths that teach us the importance of not doing the same thing Abraham and Sarai did. In this story, we see that Abram knows that he's going to have a child. Abram has been promised that from God. And Sarai here begins to think that she might be the problem. So Sarai does something. She tries to get ahead of God and comes up with her own way of doing things. When we get to the preaching of the Word of God, and I want you to understand this. We went to hear preachers this past Monday and Tuesday with some of the church family. And on Tuesday night, the preacher said to this, he said something similar to this. He said that we don't read the Bible and listen to sermons to critique Abram, Sarai, and Hagar. We go to learn about them so we can be confronted with our own sin, so that way we can be confronted with what we would need to change so we don't make the same mistakes. See, the preaching of the Word of God is not just for us to take a view of someone who lived 5,000 years ago and says, look, that man made a mistake. We need to look down at him. Or that woman, I can't believe she did that. Or Hagar, why was she even there? It's not that. It's for us to understand the stories of the Bible so we can take application, apply it to our lives, and be confronted with our own sin. We don't come to church to get entertained. Now, we do enjoy it when the music sounds a little bit better than just being really bad. You guys would enjoy those five men singing and that choir singing much better than you would enjoy hearing me sing. Now, you might enjoy hearing me sing once, just so that way you can laugh with the rest of us. But you would not enjoy. It is nice when things work together. But here, when it comes to the preaching of the Bible, preaching is supposed to help change us and help grow us, help us have a greater desire to want to learn more about God. It's supposed to help us in our Christian lives. It's not something where you just hear, you sit, and you think, you condemned or you commend the different Bible characters. No, we apply these things to our lives to help us grow to become more like Jesus Christ. And here in Genesis chapter number 16, I want you to see what happens when you get ahead of God. God is always seeing. God is always there. God is always working. God is someone you can trust. He is faithful. And here in this story, Abram really wants a child. Of course, in that day and time, it was looked down upon if you did not have a son. Abram's been promised by God a child. He says, you're going to have this. Not only are you going to have a child, you're going to have a great lineage, a great heritage. And here in chapter 16, it seems like Abram and Sarah get a little tired of waiting, and they want to take matters into their own hand. And we're going to see that this causes problems, and the problems it causes in their lives, not only in their lives, but over many nations' lives, and even today, the problems that are in the Middle East come because of this passage of Scripture. Let's go ahead and look here in Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in and unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Now, just help you a little bit here. In this story, we see that Sarai thinks that she can't have children. She thinks her faith is gone. She doesn't think God's going to use her. And back then, there was a custom, there was a code of the day, that if a woman could not have children, that she could, if she had a slave or a servant, she could have her husband could go into that woman, and then when she conceives and has a child, it would then become the mistress's, or the lady who's in charge, the woman who could not bear children, it would become her child through her slave. And that is a custom of the day. That is not something that God agreed with. God never accepted the child in the form of being a heritage that was promised to Abraham. Verse number 4, and he went in unto Hagar. And she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. So it works the way that Sarai thought it was going to. That he goes in, the woman has conceived, she's pregnant. And then Hagar begins to despise her mistress Sarai. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. We see Sarai, she is blaming Abram. She says, Look, this is your fault. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And sin didn't work out the way she thought it would. She was willing to sacrifice. She was willing to do these things. And when things did not work out the way she thought she would, she began to blame everyone else. Look what it says in verse number 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Abram really doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He says, Look, she's your maiden. Go ahead and do whatever you want to her. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her. I like that. You know, this woman, Hagar, she's a slave. She's an Egyptian. There is no promise given to her, given to her family. And she runs quite a ways, almost back to Egypt at this point in time. And it says that the angel of the Lord found her. He went looking for her. Let's keep on going. By a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she says, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Now, it's amazing. God hears the affliction of this woman. And see the response here in verse number 12. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. And here's the thing, is Hagar's far away from where Abram's at, far away from where Sarai's at. And she says, Look, God saw me in my need. And that's just a wonderful thought there, coming from who this woman was. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairil. Behold, it's between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram's son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Look at that. 86 years old, and he has a child. That's something exciting there, isn't it? Think about it. 13 years from now, he's going to have the child that God had promised him. This isn't the child God had promised him. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's get into this message. What happens when you get ahead of God? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray you use it and use me whatever way you choose, Lord, to be able to be a blessing to the people that hear. Lord, I pray that they have ears to hear and a heart to apply it to. And Lord, that they make the changes in their lives that you desire for them. there's someone here that's not sure of their salvation, Lord, I pray they come to a saving knowledge of you. And Lord, for those that are believers here, help us learn to wait patiently on you. Lord, help us to learn not to get ahead of you, but always to see you working in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but I this is one of those messages that speaks to my heart. Because, you know, I have desires and the idea of what God would want me to do with my family, with our church. I'm not very good at waiting. I like to jump the gun sometimes when it comes to things. Sometimes, if you ever have a conversation with me, sometimes I do my best not to do this, but sometimes I think I know what you're going to say, and I try to finish your thought for you. I do that with my wife all the time, and she does that with me every once in a while. But I do that with her all the time. I think I know what she's going to say, so I respond to the question. She says, just listen to me. And I like to jump the gun. I don't know if any of you do that or not, but we like to think we know what we should do. We like to think we know how to respond. We like to think that we know what's going to happen next, and we begin to make things happen for ourselves. And the story here, this is exactly what happens. God is silent during this time. And during times of silence, sometimes people make foolish mistakes. And this is what happens to Sarai, and this is what happens to Abram. And when we look at it this morning, I want us to see what happens when you get ahead of God. But before we get right into this passage of Scripture, there is one other Scripture I'd like for you to think about it, and I'm going to read it for you. It's found in James chapter 1, it's verses 2 through 8. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now listen to this next phrase. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And what the Bible is saying there is that sometimes you're going to be going through a trial. Sometimes there might be times when you're silent to be patient, because that's what God is trying to work in your life. Now the next verse says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What that means is don't jump ahead of God. Don't begin to try to make things happen for yourself. Wait on the Lord. And as you wait on God and God perfects the work and the patience he's doing in your life, at the end you will be in perfect, meaning mature, and entire, wanting nothing. Keeps on going in and says, if any of you lack wisdom, and they're saying, look, if you don't understand the trial that you're going through, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He says, look, if you're trying to find what the next step is, ask of God. And he says, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So what the Bible is saying, if you approach him and says, Lord, I'm going through this hard time, this trial, he says, don't jump ahead of the gun. Don't go where you think God wants you to go. He says, ask the Lord. He is more than willing to give it to you liberally. And upbraideth me not doesn't mean he's going to say, you're so stupid, you're so dumb. He's not going to give you a hard time. He willingly, as you wait on him, will give you the knowledge that you need to continue on to wait, and it shall be given him. The other verse says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So as we go through this passage of Scripture this morning, I want us to remember that God is trying to do a work here. God is trying to do a work in Abram's life and Sarai's life. And here the problem is they jump the gun. They get ahead of God. And what happens when you get ahead of God is, number one, you make some dumb mistakes, or we make dumb mistakes. When you get ahead of God, sometimes we will make some really dumb mistakes. And this is what happens in the portion of the Scripture. I want you to see that Sarai loses her faith that God will use her. Now let's look here, and let's not judge her, but instead let's try to understand why she made this decision. It was the wrong decision. She should have had faith in God. She should have been leaning to God. And the least, she should have approached God and said, God, please show us the right way. Give us the right path. Abram had done that in the last chapter. God had once again told him, look, don't be afraid. Look, I'm your shield. I'm your exceeding great reward. Keep your eyes focused on me. As you look at me, as you keep your eyes focused on me, you'll receive the promises that I've given you. Look what it says in verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She's got a problem. The problem is that God has promised Abram a child, and God has not given her a child. So she begins thinking. The devil comes alongside and says, you know what? You know what? Maybe you're the problem, Sarai. If God has promised Abram, he hasn't promised you, then why do you think God's going to use you? And you know what? We make some really dumb mistakes when we let the devil convince us that God can't use us. And that's what Sarai does here. Sarai allows the devil to convince her that God does not plan on using her, but instead she has to look outside of God's plan, outside of God's will, because we know that God does not condone this marrying of a second woman or this concubine that this woman's going to become. He goes out against what God has planned and God's purpose. Sarai believes the lie, and she makes a dumb mistake because she loses her faith. She loses sight of what God was doing. She loses sight of the fact that that God had given the promise and that God never breaks his promise and that God can do all things. It amazes me that Sarai has no problem believing that Abram, who is 86 years old, can have a child and that her at 76 cannot. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just thinking in today's day analogy. I would think Abram would have just as much problem having children as Sarai would. But Sarai doesn't have a problem thinking that God can use Abram. Her problem is that she doesn't think God's going to use her. And you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? We need to be careful not to jump ahead of God. Sarai begins to think, and she makes a dumb mistake. She's willing to give her husband. Now, and we can sympathize a little bit with Sarai because she's feeling like she is the one that's the problem. She's feeling like she's the one that's not capable. She's the one that is causing all this problem. But the issue is she's not trusting in God. She loses her faith. Most people say, well, I can't believe she would give her husband over to this other woman. I can't believe she would let this other woman marry her. But you know what? The problem isn't that. That is a bad sin. That is a really bad sin. But where does the sin originate from? It originates from her lack of faith. It's unbelief. She doesn't believe that God can do it with her. So she steps out. So the first thing is, when you jump ahead of God or when you get ahead of God, you make dumb mistakes. And it's because of a lack of faith. And you continue on. It says in verse number 2, and Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. It's amazing when people love to blame God for things. Says, God is the one that stopped me. God made the promise, but God is the one restraining me. And she says, I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now, Abram listens to his wife. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, that's right, wrong, you know, but I do see that he is supposed to be the head of the household. And he should have stopped and said, look, this is sin. I'm not going to do this. He was wrong for listening to his wife here. And in the story, what happens is you see a lack of faith in Abram's life too. You would seem to think that getting a son became more important than last week that we looked at. God says, I want to be your great exceeding reward. But Abram here, he sees a way out. He says, you know what? Maybe this way is right. He keep on going in verse number 3. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Now, here's the first thing is we make dumb mistakes because we have a lack of faith. The second thing underneath that is because we learn from the world. Here's what I'm getting at. So we got Sarai here. Sarai here probably thinks that she's the problem. God promised Abram. God hasn't promised me. Maybe we need to go and figure out how to help God along. You ever thought that you need to help God along? You ever thought, okay, God, I need some finances. I need some help here. And here we begin to step outside of God's will to accomplish what we think God wants to accomplish. Let me be honest with you. God is able to do all things, and God can accomplish anything through us that he wants to accomplish. He does want us to have feet to our faith. He does want us to be working towards our faith. But we do not have to turn to the world and the world's way to accomplish God's work today. And here's the thought. Sarai had heard and Sarai had seen this happen in many people's lives and said, you know what? According to the traditions of today, according to the code of today, according to the land of Canaan, it is very acceptable for me to turn around and give Abram over to Hagar. Let Hagar have the child. I receive the child while Hagar is delivering the child. And the child becomes mine. You know what that is? That is the world's way of doing things. That the world says, hey, that's okay for you to do. Nowhere does the Bible say that's okay. Just because something's written in the Bible does not mean that it was acceptable in God's sight. God rejects this child as being part of Abraham's future heritage. He is not the promised child that God told Abram about. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, sometimes what we do is we get ahead of God and we begin to learn from the world. We begin to lean to the world. And that's what Sarai is doing. Because of her lack of faith, she begins looking outside of her faith, looking outside of God's will, looking outside of God's plan and saying, okay, how are we going to get ahead of God? How are we going to fix this? And we begin to listen and learn to the world. You say, how do I apply that today? Once again, the purpose of the message is not to say, well, Sarah, I was wrong, duh. The purpose of the message is to say, how can I apply that to me today? You know, sometimes I make dumb mistakes. Sometimes my dumb mistakes is because I have a lack of faith, and then I begin, instead of thinking like a Christian should, I begin thinking like the world should. You know, let's think about it as a church. You know, God has put in a lot of our hearts what we'd like to see our church become. God has put in our minds and our hearts, we love to see our church fill. We love to see people on every spot. We love to have to put chairs out there. We love to do all these things. But, you know, here's the question. Are we going to try to get ahead of God and say, okay, God, you're not doing what we think you should here. Maybe we should get ahead of you and say, well, maybe we need to begin looking outside of God's word or looking outside of God's will of how to build the church. Well, you know, we have people say, well, you need to change the music, Pastor. If you could change the music, you're going to bring in a whole new crowd. You know, but are we learning from the world if we do that? Maybe some people say, you need to change the Bible. You need to change the preaching. You need to change the Word of God. But if we go ahead and change the Bible and the Word of God, are we leaning to the world to do that? You know, maybe we should lower some of our standards here. Maybe we should lower some of the things we do, the preaching on holy living. Pastor, if you would throw out the holy living and you wouldn't preach on sin, you could get a lot more people to come. But, you know, what are we doing? Are we trying to get ahead of God? And that's what so many people are doing. When Christians' lives are barren and when churches' lives are barren, instead of looking inside, asking if it's a faith problem, instead of looking and saying, hey, is there something I need to change? Is there something in my life that I could do to become more like Jesus Christ, to make something happen? They look to the world, they go to the websites, and they start saying, okay, how are we going to build this church? It's Jesus Christ's church. He builds the church. He does it his way. And we allow God and we wait patiently, faithfully for God. When we jump ahead of God, we get ahead of God, we make dumb mistakes. We lose faith. And what do? We begin to learn from the world. And that you can go a lot of churches that are trying to learn from the world. There's a story about one man who began this new church-wide movement or this ecumenical type movement or this community-style church. They went and they knocked on the doors and says, what is it that you don't like about church? And then they began to have a church service that would make everybody happy. They changed the type of music. They stopped having invitations. They stopped preaching on sin. They stopped so many things that the Bible says are important. And they filled up buildings. And they said, we've built the church. And they have huge auditoriums. They have huge numbers of people. But the question is the world getting any better or worse with this type of church? Do we see God working and moving, seeing people saved, seeing sin confronted and brought across? See, when we jump ahead of God, many times what we do is we make dumb mistakes. Why do we make these dumb mistakes? It's because we have a lack of faith. Giving, I don't know about you ladies, could you imagine giving your husband to somebody else? Now, I know some of you be say, yes, go ahead. Somebody can take him. Go ahead. Maybe we can start that right now. No. Someone who you loved and cherished and looked up to and would not want to leave his side, and he has provided for you and done all these things for you, to turn around and give that to someone else. You couldn't do that, could you? She made a dumb mistake because she lost sight of her faith. She came to the spot and says, God cannot use me. We make dumb mistakes when we go outside of God's will thinking, God cannot use me. I need to look to the world for help. Don't get ahead of God. And so many times in our lives today, we get ahead of God and we want to jump ahead. God is, as we learn in James, trying to do a work, the trying of your faith, work of patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Abram and Sarai pay a great price. They damaged their family here, and this is all because they got ahead of God. So point number one is, what happens when you get ahead of God? You make some dumb mistakes. Sarai and Abram made a dumb mistake. Second point, not only do we make dumb mistakes, we must deal with our mistakes. We must deal with our mistakes. Yeah, you come here and you look at this passage of scripture. Look at verse number 5. He says, Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was a spy in her eyes. And the Lord judge between me and thee. Now, here's what happens is that Sarai, Abram, make a mistake. And because of this mistake, that means that they must deal with their mistakes. Now, we have some different things we can do. I can say in all three of these people, they dealt with it in a different way. And many times, the way we respond to the mistakes and the sins of our lives is the exact same way. So there's three different ways that Abram deals with the way that Abram deals with the sin. There's a way that Sarai deals with the sin, and there's a way that Hagar deals with the sin. The first thing I want you to see is when we must deal with our mistakes, Sarai, instead of going to God, repenting of her sin, and asking God what to do, what does Sarai do? Sarai tries to blame everyone else. She tries to blame everyone else. We make mistakes, but we must learn to deal with these mistakes. Instead of looking and saying, Abram, it was your fault. Hagar, it was your fault. God, it was your fault. What does Sarai do? She does that exactly. She begins to blame everyone else. When we have sin in our lives, we must stop looking around to blame everyone else. Look to God and say, God, I have sinned. I have done wrong. And because I have sinned and then done wrong, please forgive me. Help me not to do this again. But what does Sarai do? She doesn't do that. She blows up. She gets mad. She makes life miserable for everybody. This was Sarai's idea. Sarai goes to Abraham. Abram doesn't talk about leaving her for Hagar. Abram doesn't talk about doing anything like that. But what does she do? She gets mad. She begins to become infuriated. She makes life hard for Abram. She then begins to make life hard for Hagar. And let me just try to help. And I know, ladies, you're going to think I'm picking on you for a few minutes. Don't worry. The men's is coming in a second. But ladies, I want you to think about this for a second. You know, we hear that little story or that little proverb, when mama's not happy, no one's happy. Anybody ever heard that before? Anybody ever said that before? You know what? Why is that? Because, and I know we have some ladies in our church, and I'm not saying specifically, I guess no, they're everywhere, that don't mind the Christian role that they have as a wife. But when they don't get their way, and when things do not turn out the way they do, they make life miserable for everybody else. That's not biblical. Submissiveness does not mean that you turn around and make life so miserable for your husband and so miserable for your children that they turn around and give you your way anyway. That is not submissiveness. And that's what happened with Sarai. Sin does not get her what she's looking for. Sin does not turn around and produce the results that she thought. She thought everything was going to be fine. She thought Hagar is going to give up her baby and never think another thing about it. Sin will never pay off what you think it should. And when the Bible speaks of a lady and a husband working together, that does not mean that a wife should turn around and make life miserable for everyone else because of their own mistakes and their own sins. And unfortunately, that's what happens many times, is when we have a problem, we place the blame. You made me this way. You caused me to do this. It was your fault. And that's exactly what Sarai does. Listen to what one preacher puts it this way. I said that so that way when it seems kind of hard, I didn't write it, somebody else wrote it. One preacher puts it this way. There are many who approach the problems of life with a similar attitude. If they are unhappy, they want everyone else around them to be unhappy as well. So they get grouchy. They get mean-spirited. They get short-tempered and become hard to get along with. Lest we forget, this is not Christ-like in a response to trouble and problems. He would have us to learn to handle our problems of life without attacking others, without attempting to make other people feel miserable just because of our own sin. And you know what? I see it. It's not just ladies either, but I see this being a problem many times in ladies' lives, and we laugh at that because no one's, if mama's not happy, no one's happy. That means that we have to curtail to the wife or the mother so much to make the whole house happy. The lady shouldn't be like that, should they? That's not biblical. That's not Christ-likeness. I know everybody's really quiet right now because I'm talking about moms and ladies and mothers. We are supposed to love them. We are supposed to treat them, as the Bible says, as a weaker vessel. We are supposed to put them and honor them. I understand all that. But that does not give people a right, male or female, to try to walk all over everybody else to make them feel miserable because of their own problems. Second thing I want you to see is Abram pretends like it's not his problem. Abram just says, Sarai, this is your mess. I didn't have anything to do with it. You deal with her the way you want to. You know what? Pretending like there's no problem, it doesn't fix it either. Just making everybody else as miserable as you, you know what that does? It just makes everybody else unhappy too. It doesn't make you feel any better. It doesn't fix the problem. But pretending like there's no problem doesn't help either. Look in verse number 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Now here's the thing is that Abram says, look, you go ahead and you do whatever you think is best. Now Abram here is supposed to be the head of the household. Abram, this is his problem. He began this problem. It was his fault that he listened to his wife and went into this woman, conceived with this woman. There is a problem, and as Abram written all over it. Not only does it have Abram written all over it, we see Hagar, this Egyptian woman, where did he get her from? If you remember, many years earlier, Abram goes over to here to Egypt. There was a famine in the land. Abraham goes over to Egypt. He told Sarai, says, tell the Pharaoh that you're my sister. I don't want to be killed. All those different things. And then Pharaoh pays Abram with many men servants and maid servants and many riches for Sarai. See, I think Hagar came inside that loot. I think that the problem was Abram went there to begin with, and because he dealt with the world, he went to the world, he took some of the world back. And here's the thinking. I want you to get this. I want you to listen to this. It is far easier to get Abram out of Egypt than it is for him to get Egypt out of Abram. Now listen to this again. I like this. It says, it's far easier to get Abram out of Egypt than it was for him to get Egypt out of Abram. The great problem with worldliness, it tends to taint our decisions. Pastor, what are you getting at? Well, see, Abram, God was able to get Abram out of Egypt, but God could not get Egypt out of Abram. He took Hagar with her. He didn't take and send back to Pharaoh all those things. He could have done that, couldn't he have? I'm sure Pharaoh would have taken those things back. I think part of the problem with Lot, and part of the problem with Lot's wife, and part of the problem with Lot's children, they got to Egypt, they liked Egypt, and when they looked over and they saw Sodom, they saw Egypt the way it was, and they says, I remember what Egypt was like. Yes, you can get the Christian out of the world, but if you let the world get into the Christian, it's so much harder to clean that up. I don't know about you, but in my life, there's been things I've seen that I wish I'd never seen. There's been things I heard that I wish I've never heard. There's been thoughts that I've had that I wish I never had. Yes, I can be separated from the world, but to get the world out of the Christian, it's a very difficult thing to do. We must learn to pray. We must learn to seek. We must learn to memorize the scripture. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed to his word. Now, here's the thought here. Abram said, this is not my problem. This is completely your problem. Your sin, you're just as a fault, if not greater fault than the rest. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? You know, when you jump ahead of God, we make dumb decisions. We make bad mistakes. We must deal with those mistakes. We have a choice. We can be like Sarai, let's blame everybody else and let's make everybody else miserable. We can be like Abram and says, oh, this is not my problem. My wife does these things. That's her problem. My children do these things. Oh, that's not my problem. We can blame it, but as the head of the household, we're supposed to lead. And men, many times we just put our head in the ground and say, well, just let them do what they want. That makes life easier. See, Abram here was desired to have a son. He didn't care how he got it. See, God stopped being his great exceeding reward here. And he says, this child's more important to me. Don't pretend like there's no problem. The third thing is, I want you to see Hagar. Hagar just takes off. Hagar runs or tries to run from her problems. And remember, these are the three ways you can look at it. You make a dumb mistake. You had to deal with these mistakes. First of all, Sarai says, I'm just going to blame everybody else. I'm going to make everybody else miserable. Abram says, I'm not just going to ignore the problem. Hagar tries to run from the problem. Hagar decided that the answer to her problem was just to run away. She just packed up and she left her problem. And you know what? This is what many times people do. If there's a problem at the church, I'm going to run. If there's a problem in my family, I'm going to leave. If there's a problem at my job, I'm just going to go. And I'm not saying that is never right to leave a certain situation. I think that you in your family, I think you can make an argument for that. But at the same time, running away never fixes the problem, does it? I mean, church, think about the Israelites when the giants were in Canaan. They ran, but their kids had to go face their giants. If we would fight our giants and our fears and the enemy's attacks now, many times we can fight these battles for our children ahead of time so that way they don't have to face those things ahead of time later on. I'm trying to fight the battle to keep my sons' minds pure. Some people say, I can't believe you don't let your sons watch this or listen to this. You're trying to shelter them. I am trying to keep the world out of them. Because I know that to get the world out of someone is so hard to do. It's much easier just not to let them see it. Now, as they become an adult, they have their own choices. But while they are my responsibility, I'm going to do my best to make sure that they have godly things that are around them. Why, Pastor? Don't they have to learn? They don't have to learn how to live like the world to be able to say they don't want it. They can learn the truths of the Bible and the Word of God, and they can be protected. I think that's a parent's job to protect them. If I can fight this battle for them now, maybe they won't have to fight the battle of pornography later on because it's already been settled. If I can fight the battle of how to be a worker now, maybe they won't have to fight laziness later on. If I can fight other battles, you know, there's no sense running away from these problems. These are problems. They must be dealt with. And just like those giants had to be dealt with sooner or later for Israel to reach their promised land, we must learn to fight these battles now. Now, does that mean my children are going to turn out perfect? No, they're not perfect now. If you spend a few days with them, you would realize they're not perfect. Sometimes people say, your boys are so good. I says, you want them for a few days? When you came back and brought them back, you probably wouldn't feel the exact same way. I think we have some good children at our church, not just my sons. I think we have some good children at our church. But I think if we run away from the problems that they're facing and let them do whatever they want, they're going to have to deal with this sooner or later. We should fight these battles now with them. So later on, they can already have won the victory through us. Now, Hagar here is the one who, you know, what choice does she have? Was Hagar going to tell Abram no? Was Hagar going to tell Sarai no? Now, Hagar must deal with this problem. Well, what did Hagar do wrong? We see Hagar failed as the handmaid because she began to despise Sarai. He said, well, if someone's going to take my child away, I would start looking down. I would begin to despise her too. Well, that doesn't make it correct. That doesn't make it right. Remember, we are all working inside what God plans for us to do. So you say, Pastor, where are we getting at? Well, remember what the message is about. What happens when we get ahead of God? First thing we do when we get ahead of God is we make some dumb mistakes. We lose our faith. Not only do we lose our faith, we begin to learn of the world. And when we begin to learn of the world, we must begin to deal with these dumb mistakes. We cannot just blame it on someone else and say, it's the world's fault, it's the government's fault, it's my parents' fault, it's my workers' fault. No, we must stop blaming the world for our problems. We made the choice. We sinned. We must get that right with God. We must stop putting our head in the sand like Abram did and said, look, she's your handmaid. You got a problem with her. You deal with it. When it was Abram's responsibility on how to deal with it. We notice that neither Abram or Sarai goes to ask God for help. And running away from your problem never deals with the issue. Deal with the issue. Deal with the sin. The third thing is, not only do we make dumb mistakes, not only do we have to deal with these mistakes, the third thing is, what happens when we get ahead of God is, God must deal with us. God must deal with us. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? In this passage of Scripture, you see God dealing with Hagar. You see God dealing with Sarai. And later on, you're going to see God dealing with Abram. Right now, Sarai she's traumatized. She is going out and she's blaming everyone else. She's being harsh to her husband. She's being harsh to her handmaid or slave or whatever you want to call Hagar. She is miserable. She has given her husband now the thing that God wanted her to do. She feels like Hagar has taken this and she is traumatized. She is living through this. God is dealing with her. We see Hagar takes off. She runs. And I really enjoy this passage of Scripture. We're not going to have time to go through all of this. But look what it says in verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. Now, I want you to see that the angel of the Lord found her. God deals with each and every one of us. Most of us, when we saw Hagar running, probably what went through Sarai's mind was, great, she's gone. The problem is fixed. The problem's not fixed just because someone leaves. The problem was still inside Sarai's heart. The problem was still inside Abram's heart. And just because what you think your circumstances might have changed a little bit, and just because things have just gotten a little bit better because that person maybe that you despise or look down upon, or that person you think is the problem leaves, does not fix what's in your heart. What's in your heart, if it's sin, will always continue to go out. I said in Sunday school this morning, when you knock a salt shaker over, what comes out? Salt does. And when we get knocked over, what comes out of us is what's already inside of us. And we must learn to deal with the problems inside, because God will deal with us because of our mistakes and how we deal with them. Here's a couple things. I want you to see in verse number 13, it says, "And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me." God will deal with us because God sees everything. And I love this, that this is an Egyptian woman, this is a slave, this is one that woman that Sarai and Abram were probably happy to see her go, but God did not want to see her go. God loved this woman, just like God loves us. Just like God loves each and every one of us. He came to the cross to die for our sins, and he is looking for you to make things right. Second thing, not only does God see everything, God has a plan. Look what it says, verses 10 through 12. "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for the multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael." God has a plan. Verse number 12 talks about what type of man this was going to be. God knows what's going to happen. God is going to deal with us because God sees everything. God has a plan. He's sovereign in all this. Remember, James chapter 1 said, he said, let the patience be patient. Let him do his work in us. That way we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And God will hold us accountable. God will hold us accountable. Look what it says in verse number 9. "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress." I don't know about you, but if I'm Hagar here, and you know, I've been treated this way by Abram, and I've been treated this way by Sarai, and I take off running and nobody's chasing after me, why in the world would I want to go back to be a slave? But you know, it's kind of interesting. The angel of the Lord, and I believe this could be Jesus Christ in one of his appearances here on earth, says, "I want you to go back. You didn't do like you should have with Sarai. You looked down upon her. You despised her." Say, "But Sarai did this. Sarai did that. Sarai did all these wrong things." No, no, no. See, you're blaming on somebody else. "Hagar, what did you do?" "Well, they didn't ask me. Abram came in." No, no, no. "Hagar, how did you respond?" And it is amazing how God gets personal and right to the nitty-gritty and say, "You know, stop blaming it on everything else, and I want you to return, and I want you to do the thing that you were supposed to do to begin with." If you go back and you look at the parables of the Bible, the villains of the parables, they're not many times the robbers or the looters or things like that. They are people who just did not do what they were supposed to do. What God is looking for us and in us is for us to do what we are supposed to do. And he's telling Hagar, "I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of your child. But this is the way I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to hold you accountable. You did not be the handmaid that you were supposed to be. Now go back." Now, sooner or later, we're going to see in chapters in the future, she does leave. It breaks Abram's heart. And Abram, God deals with Abram at that point in time. God is dealing with Sarai at this point in time. He keeps people accountable. Now, you say, what does this message have to do with me? I don't live 5,000 years ago. I can't give my husband to somebody else. I can't do this. It applies to you in this way. Are you trying to get ahead of God? God might be trying to work in your life. God might be trying to teach something to you. God is saying, "I want you to be patient. I want you to look to me. I want you to wait on me." And we are trying to get ahead of God. It's like trying to play the lottery and say, "Okay, let me play the lottery so I can fix my financial problems." That's not God's answer. That's the world's answers. Let me go out and cheat on my taxes, or let me go and cheat on a test so that way I can get better grades. God wants me to go to college. You know, that's jumping ahead of God. That's turning to the world to fix what needs to be fixed in our lives. When we get ahead of God, we make dumb mistakes. We lose our faith. And we lean to the world. We learn from the world. And that's always going to be a mess. And when we make these mistakes, what do we do? Like Sarai, We like to blame everybody else. And somebody else might be the greater fault. Somebody else might be a problem in our lives, and their sin may be greater, but God's not dealing with us about their sin. God is looking at us and saying, you need to deal with your sin. Don't be like Sarai and blame it on somebody else. Don't be like Abram saying, this is not my problem. This is somebody else's problem. Don't be like Hagar and run away. Let God deal with you. And that's what we see here. And it's a beautiful passage of scripture. Go home and read verses 7 down to the end of the chapter and see God dealing with Hagar. Hagar probably thought, this God that Abram serves doesn't care a thing about me. And we see that he finds her. And you might think, well, the God of heaven could care less about me. You know what? He's looking for you today. He sent his son down the cross to die for you. He is dealing with you, and he will keep you accountable. He sees you. He hears your cries. He knows what's going on. He wants to help you today. Just don't jump ahead of him. See what God's trying to do in your life. Be patient and wait. Let me close this with one last thought. Say, Pastor, that's good. That's what I like to do. I don't like to jump ahead of God because I don't want to do anything. You know, there's people who say, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to pray. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to tithe. I don't want to witness. I don't want to do any of those things. You don't have to worry about me. This message has nothing to do with me. You know what? That is a cop-out and an excuse that some people use. If we will stay busy doing the things that we know we are supposed to do, we will be very busy. If we jump ahead of God, which means going above the things that we know we're supposed to do because we think God wants us to do this, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. Don't use the excuse of, I don't want to get ahead of God, so I'm going to stop. I'm not going to do this, this, or this. That is a sin. And what you're doing is not dealing with the mistakes that we're making. And God will hold you accountable. This message is for you just as much as anybody else. This morning, are you trying to get ahead of God? Are you trying to make things happen? Are you patiently waiting on God? So many times we make dumb mistakes because we lose sight of God and lose our faith in him, and we turn to the world and we don't want to deal with the mistakes that we are making. We must learn God will always deal with us. He loves us too much to let us live in a way that's going to destroy our lives and our families. Before we close, are you a Christian this morning? I know the message was intended for those that are believers, those that have been saved and are